I'm back now with our tech guru, Omar Gayaga. And Omar, you've got a holiday gift guide for those of us who have not yet finished our shopping or are still looking for good ideas. So where should we start?
Well, we want to start with the basics. If you've got video game consoles with wireless controllers or remote control for your TV, you're going to need batteries, specifically rechargeable ones.
Now, one of the questions I've always had is, do rechargeable batteries work as efficiently as just plain old batteries?
They've gotten a lot better, and they also charge a lot faster now. One of the issues with rechargeables in the past was that you really had to think ahead and recharge them ahead of time, and it could take all night to do it. And also the pricing, and we've seen both of those things resolved to some degree. Energizer has a set of batteries that can charge in 15 minutes. And Duracell has even more instant gratification. All of their rechargeables now come pre-charged. You just load them out of the box, put them in your devices, and you're good to go.
Well, let's talk about what might very well be a popular tech gift where you could use some of those batteries, and a gift that might have broken the bank last year but seems to have gotten much less expensive this year. I'm talking about digital picture frames. I seem to see these things everywhere I go.
Right. Last year, they were a really big holiday item, and unfortunately, the pricing was all over the map. This year, we've seen the quality improve and the prices drop quite a bit. Kodak's EasyShare line of picture frames tends to get really good reviews, and the prices start at only $50. Some of them even have Wi-Fi built in, so you can stream photos from your computer or from an online service like Picasa or Flickr. And you want a picture frame that has at least 640 by 480 pixel resolution. Otherwise, your photos might be a little grainy.
Digital picture frames are a wonderful way to preserve family memories when you've already got those memories on your computer. But we've got a lot of listeners who are writing in and asking for help saving their old VHS home movies, transferring those so that they're also stored in their computer. Any help for those folks?
Right. Well, we've all got old media lying around. We've got vinyl albums or VHS tapes or cassettes, but a lot of us don't even have the devices to be able to play them anymore. So there are companies like Ion Audio that put out devices that allow you to interface that old media with your new computer. They have a line of turntables, cassette decks, even VCRs that can plug into a computer, transfer all of that old information and convert it into digital files. They usually cost between $100 and $200, and they usually come with the software to convert it as well.
Okay, Omar, we have covered a lot of ground, but this is the moment where you were supposed to surprise me, and I have set a very high bar here. This has got to be something that I did not know that I needed, something that I absolutely can't live without.
Well, the device that I keep getting asked about this holiday season is the Magic Jack. They've been very aggressive in their advertising, and everybody wants to know if it really works. What it is it's a little plastic stick that you put in a computer's USB device, and it allows you to make unlimited long-distance calls for only $20 a year. Now, the device itself is $40, but that includes your first year of service. Now, this doesn't work for international calls, and you have to leave your computer on if you want to receive calls, but you don't pay any additional fees, and you can use any existing phone. It's got a phone jack. You just plug in your old phone into it, and you're good to go.
Omar, thanks so much for these shopping tips. Dare I ask if you have finished your holiday shopping?
No, I am lagging behind. I've not even done the online shopping that I thought I was going to be doing. But I'm going to be posting links to a lot of these devices and two gift guides that I've written on the NPR site. That's npr.org/alltech.
That's Omar Gayaga. He covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's time now for our weekly technology segment, All Tech Considered. Last week, we talked webcams. This week, last-minute holiday tech shopping. Joining me now, as always, is our tech expert, Omar Gayaga. Welcome back, Omar.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Did you come bearing gifts today?
I do. I've got a few gift ideas designed to stretch your dollars this holiday season. This is not the year for the latest and greatest and highest price. I think this year people are thinking a little bit more modest.
Well, I look forward to that. But first, we've got something else for our listeners. If you don't want to risk a line at your local mall or you just can't stand the elevator music, there's hope. It's the next phase of online shopping, the virtual mall. Several new companies are trying to replicate the experience of shopping at your favorite mall online, complete with storefronts and escalators. You can browse from store to store. You can compare prices. You can do all this without leaving home. And we asked Hannah Jaffe-Wald from member station KPLU to try this out. So she sat down, she created an avatar that's a character who will do all the shopping for you, and she got busy browsing.
I am a sturdy, ebony-skinned man with a pink afro. I'm at the mall on my computer. Okay, here. I move forward. Macy's is ahead of me at the end of this aisle, assaulting my eyes with video ads. There's a Hot Topic, Vitamin World. Okay, I gotta mute this. I am not fond of malls, real malls. I hate the lighting. I hate the music. I'm actually a really bad person to explore this virtual mall with you.
Every time you think about just like going on shopping, it's just like it's so exciting because it's so like I love like just every single aspect. So
this guy, though, he's perfect to test ride virtual mall shopping. Ben Schuck, 22-year-old student, Nordstrom employee, fashionista. I sit him down with virtual e-shopping. See if the joy translates.
Woo! Okay, where are we going?
So the way that you move yourself around is with these arrows.
Okay. Okay, let's go. Wow. Oh, is that Overstock.com? I see the O. Oh, there's a Fossil. Oh, there's an Apple store too. Oh, cool. Oh, there's a PacSun.
Right now, you walk through the virtual mall and you see the store facades. And when you click on them, it just takes you to the store's regular old website. But Mark Stein, Virtual eShopping's founder, says eventually you'll be able to go inside the stores and browse, walk your avatar through Target with a shopping cart.
And put items in your shopping cart. You can pick them up, look at them, pay for them with a credit card, and either have them delivered to you or pick them up from your local Target.
Ben Schuck is Virtual eShopping's target demographic, young, social, and into shopping. And as you heard, he squeals through his first 20 minutes in the virtual mall. But then something happens, something that never happens when Ben is shopping. He gets bored.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, just like it's I wouldn't use this for my shopping. If you want to go to Macy's and you want to go to Macy's online, you just go to Macy's.com or Saks.com, you know. You don't need a virtual mall to take you there.
Kenneth Kassar has an idea about this. He's with Nielsen Research.
The online shopper today is largely seeking a functional experience.
Kassar says when we're online, we care about convenience. More than pretty window displays, more than price even. People want quick, simple, easy.
Virtual shopping environments presume that consumers want to have fun with it. I question, though, whether there's a large critical mass of consumers that will move in that direction.
But Kassar does add this thought I'll leave you with now. He says 50, 60 years ago, many people looked at all those new physical malls popping up and said the following. Nobody's going to want to drive out of the town center to shop inside a big enclosed space. That's crazy. For NPR News, I'm Hannah Jaffe-Walt.
The economy isn't the only thing in the toilet. Many of us have dropped our cell phones down there, too. It turns out it's hard to confirm how many phones are lost beyond the occasional anecdote. Of course, more cell phones or Blackberries might be lost, except that untold numbers of people go plunging in to rescue them. NPR's Yuki Noguchi chased down some of them. The people, that is, not the phones.
I'm standing in a public bathroom stall at Union Station in Washington, D.C. This place gets plenty of foot traffic. In these narrow confines, you can imagine a commuter taking a call or a tourist juggling their bags. And you can see how this becomes a treacherous place for the average mobile phone.
You know, there are 268 million cell phones in the United States, and we do get an awful lot of stories of them going down the toilet.
Frank Bennett is chief operating officer of Simplexity, an online reseller of phones.
We had a lady we helped last month who was changing her little son in a porta potty, and she lost her phone, and she could see it, but she wasn't willing to get it. And so it was in this interesting legal status of not being actually lost, but being unretrievable, and we helped her get a new smartphone.
Bennett also speaks from personal experience. He fished two of his cell phones out of the bowl. And there are people like David Toledo, who recalls this episode with his old BlackBerry.
At the time when I pulled up my pants, I just heard a clunk clunk.
The setting? An airplane bathroom on the way to a client meeting in Denver.
Obviously, when you flush those toilets, you get a big draft coming in from the main cabin, and it went straight down the toilet.
Toledo did what any desperate businessman traveling without a laptop might do. He stuck his hand into the suction and into that swirl of dyed blue water.
It's kind of gross afterwards, but I didn't have a choice at that point.
A lot of rinsing and lots of towels later, the thing still worked.
Back in the hoist in the pants, thinking everything was back to normal. You know, didn't really think too much about it.
Toledo placed a call to his wife. This was before wireless headsets and he was driving. So he did that shrug thing where you sandwich the phone between your shoulder, then press it to your face. Later, he arrived at his meeting.
I walk up to the customer location to greet the customer, and the customer says, "Hey, what's going on with your face? You have this blue streak going on across it."
In a weird way, you might consider Toledo lucky. Occasionally, there's news of people going after their phones, then getting their arms stuck. In October, a man aboard a train in France lost a battle with the commode's suction system. Hours later, according to the BBC, emergency workers removed the entire toilet, still attached to his arm. Frank Bennett, the executive at the phone reseller, says people often buy insurance coverage. But in many cases, losing a phone in the toilet is considered negligence and isn't covered. Maybe that's the industry's way of saying there's a limit to where you should go with your phone. Anyway, it was a limit Ernesto Londoño ignored. And once his phone was in there, he absolutely had to get it back.
I just stuck my hand in there. And fortunately, the water was clean. But I didn't stop to think about it.
If it had not been clean, do you think you would have still gone after it?
Probably. I feel very strongly about my BlackBerry.
Londoño is a Baghdad correspondent for the Washington Post. He needed the BlackBerry for work and, at the time, also needed it to recover the only record of a love interest's phone number. He took out the battery, dried the phone with a hairdryer, then plunged it in a bed of rice for several days.
And then very, very slowly it sprang back to life. It lasted over 6 months, which unfortunately was more than the relationship.
So if you have a very close relationship with your phone, beware. You might take a little extra care when answering the call of nature. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.